Hello everyone. Today I am going to be doing a behind the scenes where I will be chatting with two of my friends, Dan Gribb and Nick Strode, on the documentary that maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't seen.
Hopefully by now you've seen it.
So if not, you should check that out first. And so what this call is, it's so Dan and I are here. We're at his place.
In Chicago.
In Chicago. And then we have Nick on the phone too, if you want to say hello, Nick.
Hello.
So sorry that like Nick sounds a little weird because their setup is very weird. I hope Connor will like take some BTS of this so we can cut to it, or I can cut to it, because let's talk doc.
Yes. So
why don't we start with like what everyone did on the project?
Sure. Yeah. So background, the documentary idea, I don't remember if it was first Nick or first me, but we had the idea to do a documentary on Audrey, on her creative journey up until this point. One of us came up with this idea around March, and then we first started actually working on it in May. And then it proceeded to do the first half of the documentary. We filmed in June, and then the back half in July, in Atlanta and California, respectively. But yes, let's go over our roles. So my role would be, I guess, the executive producer, and then also a camera operator, editor,
C100 over here,
and colorist, I guess, is all my all my titles. Dan?
Basically, I was the consultant because I've done doc work before, so they came to me and like asked me a bunch of questions about like, oh, well, how do we do this? How do we do this? And stuff like that. And then I was also the post sound engineer. So I was in charge of like mixing and making sure everything sounded right, as well as like some music choice, which might get into that a little later, as well as making sure it all just sounded well, so like cleaning stuff up and all sorts of fun stuff like that.
And then Nick, if you want to share what you had done.
So I was mainly in charge of the LA piece that we did down at VidCon. My main priority was taking the hour plus long interview that we had with Audrey and sat down with her and condense it into something less than 10 minutes. Other than that, it was just adding B-roll, doing a little bit of sound, throwing in a song here and there, and then just, you know, going over everything, giving final approval, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think throughout this whole process, we definitely didn't do it the most efficient way.
No, we absolutely did not.
But we did end up getting it done. So this is being recorded just a day or two before it actually goes up, but we...
Did you break it? Yeah, because today's Wednesday.
Okay.
I think.
Yes, so I don't know if you'll keep this in here or not. But...
no, I'm just going to keep it raw.
Okay.
Why not?
Sure, we could do all of it. It's fine. So yeah, we just wanted to talk about some of the things that we would do differently for next time.
More like the discussion of like the technical problems that we occurred on this whole project.
Yeah. So I guess I can kind of start. When we first came up with the idea, what I had done was I created a Google Doc, and I think that was actually a good start.
It was a good start, but I will interject here. I think what we should have done, instead of just creating individual docs and sharing them with the team, we should have just made one folder for the doc and shared that with everyone.
Yes.
So that we could have had all the files in one place instead of having to be like, well, which file, which Google Doc or which spreadsheet was that on again? Because I can't figure out which one it's on, because it's like we had like four or five by the end of this project.
Yeah, I just kept making new Google Docs, and that's not the play.
No.
Or at least if you do have them all in one spot, that's in one group shared folder. So then going into the first day of filming, this was Gabe and I. So we never mentioned Gabe. Gabe was also part of this. So he... helped shoot a little bit of the documentary, but was also a part of the pre-planning process a lot. And so he flew down to Atlanta with me when we filmed that first part. And the very first day we were there, we almost like weren't sure what to do. So we kind of scrapped what we did the first day. Then the second day we caught up and did great stuff. We captured a lot. We loved it. But then what stumped us when we were there is how do we want to transition things? And that was almost kind of a trend throughout. Like, worrying if something will line up, or will it make sense to go from one spot to another. We ended up just recording and saying we'll kind of do it in post, which is not what you should do.
No.
But
we'll get to that whole we'll get to the whiteboard later.
Yes, but it ended up working out okay. The footage looked great. We were filming on a Canon C100 and we had a 10 to 18 millimeter lens, and we used Dan Gribb's audio
NTG4 Plus shotgun microphone from Rode.
Yes. So that was the full setup if you're curious, and then there were a couple shots sprinkled in from our own individual cameras, but it was primarily shot on the Canon C100. So then following that, there was a month gap between Atlanta and then when we went over to California to film the VidCon section. And when we got to Cali, we had our friend Nick there. Dan, unfortunately, was not able to come.
No, I had to shoot that weekend.
But that's all right. We
ended had up, Nick Strode.
But we did have Nick Strode, the legend Nick Strode.
Yes, the legendary Nick Strode, who is currently not saying a word.
No comment.
And yeah, so then when we were there, we all took turns kind of recording. And the main thing that we wanted to document was Audrey. She was on a panel, the Less Than Famous panel at VidCon. And then she also had her own networking event for Create Her, her movement and everything that we wanted to have captured. But what Nick had talked about earlier was at the end of VidCon, we did an interview with Audrey to make sure we had all of our questions answered and stuff. But we ended up recording for like one full hour. And so what Nick had done was magic.
I forgot that
much. Yeah, he cut it down to 7 minutes, I think it was, Nick. Is that right?
Yeah, seven minutes. It started off as, I think it was like 56 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of cutting, which screwed me in the post sound process. Days.
But yeah, it was good to have multiple people working on it in a sense that we could split up the work.
Yeah. So instead of one person doing all of it.
Right. So I cut together all of the Atlanta sections. Nick did...
And the Cali montage.
And I did the montage that we have for a transitional element between Atlanta and California. And so that montage section, when I was in California with Gabe and Nick, we actually had at one point, I think it was on the first night, we were wondering how do we want to transition things? Is stuff being filmed the same? The vibe was different. And I think another element was just how many people were there recording. And Audrey didn't like it when there was a ton of cameras pointed on her, which is understandable and fair.
I think it's covered in the doc more, a little bit about why she doesn't like that. Little bit.
Mm-hmm. So that answer, I think, is in there. But anyway, like, it's fine, you know, whatever. That's part of the documentary, though. So you're there to document, not, like, pretend, like, something.
Exactly.
So it all worked out fine. What I was then wondering is, how do I want to sort of blend that in to make it seem fine, or if I purposefully change up the pace and that sort of stuff. And that's kind of what we did in post, figuring out a lot of decisions, which is not what you should do.
No, absolutely not. You should figure that out beforehand, because what was it? It was like the week before I left for vacation. So like a total of like 4 or so weeks before we wanted this thing done. You and I met up at my house.
Yep.
We just took a whiteboard and basically drew out the whole thing from start to finish. But it was just like, we basically just created a whiteboard, and it was just like, we set every single time section into like, okay, in between this time and this time, we're going to show this. And then because we had to keep figuring out the mood and the music for the mood, we had to keep like also writing down the mood underneath it, like, oh, this is going to be sad, or this is going to be upbeat, or this is going to be happy. And we had to figure out the music to, like, help fix it. Mm-hmm. Not to make it, like, a neutral tone, but, like, to make the sad parts, or not necessarily the sad parts, but the lower mode.
The main thing was the energy level.
Yeah, that's what it is. It was the energy level. The low energy levels, we had to make them seem a little bit more, else it was just going to end up dragging too much, which was a nightmare to try to figure out all that, because we had to keep replacing songs.
Right. Yeah. So when I was there with Dan, I had all of the Atlanta stuff basically done. And so that was a great start to figure out that we were at too slow or too low of an energy. And so then like Dan said, we were able to find music tracks that would help elevate it and make it seem like a little bit higher energy.
Yeah.
Not to make it fake, like we wouldn't put, you know, like a super high energy track.
We wouldn't make something that's like lower energy of more of a serious tone to all of a sudden like, oh, super upbeat, like all of, hey, like.
Right.
There's the two different things, and it's like there are some sections that deserve the slower tempo, like when she's talking about dropping out of college and stuff like that. That deserves more attention, and you should be paying more attention. So we didn't want, I didn't want the music, like trying to, I didn't want, yeah, I didn't want the music to try to like affect the tempo, the mood, the energy of that section, because it's like you should really be paying attention to what she's talking about there.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was just finding the balance. You can shift it from low to medium, or from medium to high, like just one level, but you can't do both. Yeah,
you can't. You all, and it's also a little harder to like take energy levels down, which is also something you might not want to do, really.
Right. I mean, you don't want to have to do this, but when you're editing,
sometimes it happens.
It can help you get to that spot that you want to be at.
Yeah.
So yeah, then I think jumping ahead, if we want to, the sound edit of you that you had to do. So what we had done is Nick and I focused on getting the video
the picture lock,
meaning that we would not shift any more clips left or right. We switched
maybe
into
B-roll, but like
right,
but for the most part it was like the any sync stuff is not changing at all. Like they're not going to add or remove any frames of dialogue sections.
Right. So then what we could do at that point was we could send the audio to Dan, and then while he edits the audio, I could be doing color grading for all the clips, which color grading actually took me quite a while because I was lazy at filmmaking. Use a custom white balance and update that when you change locations.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll be more difficult. But
and you learned that lesson the hard way.
Right. But if you need to, RGB curves is your friend. It's my favorite effect if you use Adobe Premiere. I like to drag that on because then you can see the red, green, and blue channels all at once. And so I pull up scopes and then I can just color grade easily. Maybe I'll make a whole video on this. But
I kind of want a colorist to comment saying, you did this all wrong. You should have done this, 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 and this.
Right. I'm sure there's a better way, but that's what I did.
Oh, there's absolutely a better way. But onto the sound of it, like when I got the project files, because basically the way we did it was because we're all using Adobe, we could use Adobe Dynamic Link. So I would just take the Adobe Premiere project files and dump them in Audition. And then I have all the files nice and cut already for me. So basically all I'm doing is adding and removing stuff, adding in cross dissolves and stuff like that. And then cleaning up dialogue. So that was one of the big things that took me a while because there were segments in the car, which most of what I did was I just added a low cut for a lot of it. Which, if you're not familiar, we should do a video on this at some point. But a low cut basically cuts some of the lower frequencies, which is typically something standard. So I'll end up doing that to our mic. I might end up doing it to Nick's as well, but we'll see when I get this in post. I saw Nick's bubble light up in Discord. Oh, he's just poking me. He's poking me. He's poking my eardrums. But basically, it cuts some of the lower frequencies to reduce some of the rumble. And then I went in and added a parametric EQ to kind of smoothen out some of the curves. So a lot of Atlanta, I felt like it was a bit, there was a lot of midsection mud. So I kind of pulled a little bit of the mids back and it pushed a little bit more in the highs. Because also what I did was I also added a denoiser for a lot of it. Because there was just like general noise that I wanted just to remove a little bit more of, which ended up making it sound a little bit fishbowly. So I had to try to contradict that, which was a fun time to try to do. Fishbowling, just if you've ever like talked to a fit into a like a fishbowl, like I'm not talking like a fish tank, I'm talking about like a fish bowl, it sounds weird. It sounds like you're it just trust me, it's very weird and it's very interesting to try to fix that. But then once I had the dialogue pretty clean, I had to get the music and sound effects because we did have some diegetic as well as some sound effects that I added in post. For instance, in the very opener, the lightning that you see, the thunder that's there is not actually the same that's there. That was cut from my sound effects library. I just grabbed a thunder that fit like insanely well and just chucked it in there.
Yeah.
And I mixed it into the mix and it sounds like it was meant to be there. And same with the rain sound effects in the beginning there. That was one that I had previously recorded. I tried to go and get some specifically for this, but of course, the day that like I'm going out to record sounds, it's like, nah, we're not going to rain at all. Even though it says like, oh yeah, like 100% chance of rain. Yeah, we're going to go around you.
Oof.
So I just cut something from my library and then I put that in. And you might think for a doc, you keep all the sound that you record, but no, you really don't. Because you might not get the same sound that you're going to end up using because of various amount of reasons. One of which just being that like, in the opener, you see her cutting like, what was it? Like an onion or something?
I think it was a potato.
It was a potato. She was cutting a potato and I almost went in and did Foley for it. Because I wanted it a little bit cleaner, and I just kind of cleaned it up a little bit. The sound recorded on set by you guys, I just cleaned it up and made it sound as if it was like designed to be in that section. Which I mean, it was in sync, which helped a lot. But it was also like I just had to clean it up because it didn't sound like it was fitting well. If that makes sense, because sometimes the sound, even if it's recorded on set, doesn't end up fitting well with the sequence just because it's too loud or too quiet.
Or bouncing off other things or stuff like
that. Or yeah, you have like echo and stuff like that and it's just it just kind of all mixes into each other and it just becomes an absolute mess. So you kind of have to mix all that in the post-sound process. And then once I finished with a mix, a tentative mix, I would export out a section, the section that like they did, because I got three sections. I got Atlanta, montage, and then interview. I got those three sections in three different times. So I'd export it out, send it over to Connor. He would take a listen, give me notes. I would sometimes change them, sometimes I wouldn't. And then I'd send them back over. And then what's it? You've heard it. I hope you've heard it now. So that's what it sounds like now.
Yes. And I think one thing to note that we ran into an issue, and I don't know if this is just because of we were using PC and Nick was on Mac, but when Nick and I would send each other our Premiere files, sometimes our video clips would not link, even though we set up the same file.
I had that same issue.
That same file structure. So I don't know if that occurs to many people or if we just had that issue, but it's something we would want to look into to try and
If we were to do this sort of same thing, if we were to do another documentary like this again in this sort of group project, it would be something we'd want to look into. Cause I had that same problem when Nick sent, when I got the montage from you, you had grabbed a section from Nick's interview and Nick's interview, for some reason, it decided that what it was going to do was just link to like Premiere Pro files or no, Adobe Audition render samples, I think it was. I forget exactly what it was. But it wasn't linking to the clip. It was linking to, like, a sub-clip. And I'm like, what?
Interesting.
Like, I don't even know. And then I went and dug those up, like, in the folder. And I found them. And they're just blank. And I'm like, what is this?
So then what I had to do was pull up the little excerpts that we had used in that interview. And then plug those into the main track. And what I was able to do, actually, using Adobe Premiere, you can sync audio from two sources to one. And so I would just take each of the little sections and link them to the main audio track. And then I found the timestamps. So then Dan had to take the actual file, go to those timestamps, grab it again, and throw it in.
I did actually get it to relink.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay.
So I didn't even need you to do all that work. Okay. I'm sorry.
Otherwise, that would have been
I got it to relink after you had sent me all those files. Okay. I was just like, because that day I was almost like ready to just punch my computer because I was just having, because Audition kept crashing on me because I kept running out of RAM because you guys sent me like massive files with like 50 plus clips in every single one. Yeah. Because you guys just went
chop, 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 chop.
Take the knife and just go.
Yes. That was the way to do it, though.
But I mean, Nick Stroh did work amazing magic cutting that sequence down from like 56 minutes to under 10. Like, great job there, Nick. That was incredible.
Thank you.
Okay, I was checking to make sure you're still alive over there.
Nick, do you have any thoughts alive, that you would want to share?
I will say the file sharing piece, that was just really weird. Because for anybody wondering, and anybody wondering why this call sounds like this, I'm in a different time zone. In fact, I'm in a different country at the moment.
Yeah, we're recording a transcontinental call here.
Sharing files was definitely a very confusing and difficult part that shouldn't have been as difficult as it was.
It did help that we were on the same file structure, but it was also harder because Nick does, like, Connor, like, does video production pretty much as your job. Mm-hmm. I'm weird and I'm all over the place because I'm still a student. Nick is in a similar situation to me, but he also has a job that he primarily does. So we're all kind of doing different things at different times. Like, when they were out filming, I was on a different set. And then it just so happened to be, like, right when we're trying to, like, do a bunch of post work, my family had a vacation, and I'm like, right. I kind of have to go on this. I have no choice. But it was just, like, it was just an... everyone has their own schedules, and it was just like, we're trying to work around this, and sometimes we're not able to, like, get all the files and communicate super efficiently, because Nick is on Eastern time, Connor and I are in Chicago on Central time, then Gabe was, whenever we needed to contact Gabe, he was just like, there's a part where he was over in, what, China?
Yeah, at one point he was in China.
At one point he was in China, like, right after you guys finished filming LA, and I'm just like, well, hopefully we don't need him for, like, the good 10 days that he's in China, because we're not getting in contact with him for a while.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
I think... and it really doesn't help that this entire project was self-funded by this team.
Yeah.
Like, we had Epidemic Sounds helping us, of course, with music selection and everything, which was absolutely amazing. But everything else, like traveling, the location that we stayed at, actually getting into VidCon and whatnot, that was all equipment. Through our own expense.
The C100 was rented by Connor.
And
it was rented by both of you guys. I provided the mic as well as some cable.
All the lenses were our own.
Yeah, the lenses were you guys', and then whenever you guys used an additional camera, that was you guys'. Oh, the interview. I want to talk about the sound recording for that real quick. Although I love the fact that a lot was used. Learn how to hide love mics, please. For the love of sound recordists everywhere.
And next time, don't have her hair fall over the microphone.
Yes, oh my god. If you heard crackling in the interview, I tried cleaning it up. I promise I did. But that's her hair scratching the windscreen of the mic, because it's a metal grill screen. So it's not like a foam or something.
Mm-hmm.
If foam, it would have sounded different, but it was scratching the metal grill, and I was just having such a headache. I couldn't get it out. I tried notch filters. I tried everything I could, and it would just refuse to come out.
Yep.
I applaud that you guys did that.
Yes.
But next time, can I be on set and do that?
Yes.
Because, no, it was not done properly. I'm sorry, but it was not done properly.
Right. Yes. We'll do quite a few things differently.
Yes.
Next time. I think we'll plan out more in advance. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that... we kind of know the vibe or the style we're going for.
Yeah.
More in advance than let's pick it once we've shot it.
Yeah. That's
not what you should do.
Should we go in and talk? Because we kind of covered, like, the problems that we occurred. Do you want to talk about how we would do it differently if we ever did a doc like this again?
Sure. We could do that. Yeah.
Let's talk about some of those things. I think one thing would be file sharing. We'd find, like, a better solution to do that. So starting with just, like, Google Drive, or like with Google Drive communication, so like with docs and spreadsheets and stuff like that, have that central folder.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would have saved us so much time of trying to, like, you saw my tabs just for this doc. I had like 13 open at like any given moment, so it was just like I was online in every doc, like whatever you clicked on it, I was just like Dan Grip, just like what. But also file sharing with like Premiere and sound files. I think that we should find maybe like a way for a server. So that way,
possible.
So that way it's like we can have all the files on said server.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking both video, sound, and Premiere and Audition and all that sort of stuff. So that way it's like, oh, I don't have this for some reason on my local drive. Let me just go to the server, copy it down. And then also that way it's like we could be backing stuff up to the server more regularly, so we're all seeing more real-time updates of, like, maybe every night at, like, or every day before you start editing. It's like, oh, let me just pop this up into the server. So that way you're not, like, downloading it to check where they are, but it's like, if I'm doing post sound on something that you're working on, and it's like you just did a major update right before I started, I can just be like, oh, now I just drag this in instead of dragging the old one that like you gave to me when you were at my house or something. So that way it's kind of like we all have that a little bit easier. Nick, what would how does that sound for like, oh, he's muted his mic. But I'm still going to just ask them this and hopefully he'll unmute, but we'll see. How does, like, would that make sense for doing some international work if you weren't back in Chicago? Because if we were in Chicago, if we were all in one central location, I think it would be a lot easier using, what is it, Adobe's teamwork thing?
Yeah, so if you're all connected to the same thing, there's a thing in Adobe Premiere that you can, like, share a project or, like, make it online if you're all on the same network, I believe it is. And so then what you do is when you hit save, you can transfer it so that like only one person can edit it at a time, but it's near instant. When you hit save, then it can go to someone else and someone else could pick up. And that would be very convenient if we were all in the same spot.
Yeah, so if we were all in like Chicago and we had a little like space or we all had like an apartment that we shared for like the duration of these projects, that would work amazingly. But that's one major thing that I can think of. What about you? What can you think of?
I think just going in, having more of a plan of...
So we're not doing the whiteboard fiasco again?
Yeah. I mean, with the whole documentary, though, like, in general, you're documenting. So, yes, things will change. And you want to capture those things that change, because those are the more genuine moments that I love to have in there. Like, in the beginning, when Audrey's dog, named Blue, licks the lens. It's like... a random moment, or like when she pulls out the food and like
the random apple. Why do I feel like that was in there since she moved to like before she moved back to Atlanta from Chicago?
I don't know. I didn't ask, but
she also didn't know. So it's like,
yes,
that concerns me. Like, how long do you keep food in your bag? How often do you check this?
Right. But see, then that was a thing that when we got to California, we didn't have as many candid moments, and that sort of threw me off my game. And so I think if there's one thing to take away is that something will go wrong always.
Yeah.
And so if you know that, then maybe going forward, you almost get excited when something will go wrong, because then you're like, ooh, a problem is happening. Now we can solve it. And now we can push on to the next part and we aren't going to be thrown off and lose progress, lose time, etc. So that would be a big takeaway. Plan, but be okay when things don't go off.
But I'm going to be biased towards sound, like, because that's my job. But the way that it's done in like a lot of, in most situations, is you have someone whose job is just to record the sound. And I think that would be something that we'd want to change for the future. I mean, unfortunately for this one, I couldn't be there.
Right.
And it sounded fine the way it was. But if what we could have done was had a boom and a lav on her at all times, that would have been just better, because I can hide that lav somewhere and it's just, what mic? There's no mic on her. I don't know of a mic. And just put a nice little small transmitter in her back pocket and boom, done. And then just have the boom for whenever we're doing like interview based stuff or like one-on-one stuff, where, and then I can rely on that lav mic a lot for when she's like out in the field and you're just capturing from more like of a distance stuff to get like telephoto and stuff like that. So that we still have the sound from that. And if it's like in a group setting, it's not like it's not intrusive of like, oh, there's a microphone above us. Like, this is weird. I don't like this.
Right.
So that would be just another thing that I kind of want to do instead of shoving mics in people's faces all the time. It's like, just at the start of the day, hide a mic and then just change the battery, like lunch, and then done.
Yes. Nick, if you're there, do you want to jump in with any last thoughts you had before we conclude this?
He's back alive.
There's nothing I really want to add. Like, this was hands down one of the best experiences that I've had, just because of, you know, all of us working together, the reach that this is potentially going to have. And really, I just can't wait to start working on the next one.
Yes.
Oh boy. There's another one already in the books or something over here that I'm not aware of. Maybe. What is this?
We just dropped the eyes emoji.
Oh no. Oh no. I'm not going to have to put that in there.
Yes. It's okay.
Just but that's search. A Discord reference. If you're not in Aldrich's Discord, why aren't you? Like, that's the real question.
Right. But yeah, I agree with Nick. I think this has been an amazing learning experience.
Oh, it absolutely has.
For all of us. And I'm stoked with how it came together.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for
there's still
first
some things,
one.
There's still some things I'd love to change, but maybe in the future we remake it. Who knows? We don't know what's 5 years for us anymore.
Right. Yeah, and the next one will be better than that, and we'll learn different things, and then we'll be able to apply, and it kind of just snowballs from there. Yeah.
It's August, not December. There's no snow.
Well, the creative process will snowball.
Okay, you're talking about the snowball effect, not an actual snowball.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
I was like, we're a few months out here. I'm too tired. I've been working too much lately. Yay.
But yeah. Alrighty. I think probably wrap it up about there. Yeah. I appreciate, Nick, you hopping on.
Thanks for using your data, Nick.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. It's worth it.
And then thank you, Dan, for setting up this sort of stuff, and
we got to make sure that we get a shot of all this.
Yeah, so all right, thank you very much for all of you guys who listened to this, for all this. Hopefully it was helpful. If you have any other questions, never hesitate to shoot us a message, and we'll see you guys soon. Peace. Close.
That's a cut. You want me?